This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
Jay Williams of KJZ fame. You don't like Carlin.
I don't like guys from oratory prep.
So between our show, working with Keyshawn every day, which, you know, is draining, doing NBA games, staying up, just had a second kid. It feels like the walls are kind of slowly coming in on top of me. Have you guys ever had any of these kind of feelings before? We're like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, like when Carlin walks through a door.
Kind of the same feeling. Jeez.
This is DCR.
Wow.
On 98.7 ESPN.
It is the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. I mean, Carlin, you've been in radio a long time. Done this for, what, 20-plus years? I've been with some of the biggest in the business. Done morning drive, evenings, afternoon, national, you name it. Was that as embarrassing as it can get?
Yeah, no, that's up there.
Yeah.
That's up there. Yeah. I mean, here I am holding a grudge against a perfectly nice guy, and the guy's going back and forth to see his sick mother in North Carolina. It just couldn't look like a bigger jerk, and I feel like it, too.
24 pills a day. That poor woman, 24 pills a day.
Yeah. And now I'm going to, you know, all weekend long, I'm going to be sitting there like, wow, great job. Great job, jerk. You know, trying to be Mr. Funny. Jay Williams blowing us off. Alan Hunt setting me up. No. His mother's sick.
No, real life's getting in the way, Carlin.
Yeah,
real life.
Exactly. I don't know if you realize this, fatty, but, you know, people have
Zubin
feelings
here or something?
And people have lives.
I'll go after Zubin?
Oh, God.
Wow.
No.
Mother Teresa? Why don't we take her out?
The llama?
Yeah, exactly.
Take some shots at the llama now?
Sister Jean. I mean, come on. She left early in the Final Four. Get out of here, old lady.
Dave, you asked that question. We are talking about the same guy that gets slapped in the face by Chris Berman waiting in line for food.
It was not slapped in the face.
And just took it.
He just took it like a champ.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Take it. Take it. Slapped in the face.
Paint it however you want. However you want.
Just
go ahead and poke me all you want for the next few days. That's all I'm here for.
I think we're going to. Yankees averages. LeMahieu, 264. Stanton, he's been good, 282. Judge, 273. Tyler Wade, 231. Urshela has been fine, 292. But listen to this, Rick. You talked about the bottom of the order. Sanchez not hitting 200, despite his big two hits last night. Ford is hitting 095. Frazier, 141. And Duhar, 0. Doesn't have a hit yet on the season. And Gardner, 182. So when you get outings from Taillon last night, with, you know, 4 runs over 5 innings, you have no chance to win these games at this point.
They scored 5 runs the entire series, Dave.
Yeah, and won the series.
And won the series, which is amazing. I mean, unless it says they had 5 hits. They had the 2 hits in the ninth inning. The game was already over at that point. They had 3 hits. They got 3 hit by Rich Hill, who's 41 years old
He's the oldest player in all of Major League Baseball right now.
He's Eddie Harris from Major League. They may have loosely based the character Eddie Harris on Rich Hill.
The only difference is Rich Hill is left-handed. That's it.
That's the only difference.
Yep.
The only difference. And the guy, listen, he had good stuff last night. Right? He had good stuff. But, I mean, there were a lot of non-competitive at-bats last night.
I mean, that's the thing that aggravates me the most, is that when you watch them and they foul off the pitch they think they're going to get to hit, it's almost like there is a give-up in some of the at-bats. You know, you watch Stanton waving at a curveball that's a foot and a half outside. I mean, honestly. All right, I get it. If you get a pitch and you miss it, you feel like you may not get another one. You got to find a way, don't you? Just make contact.
It's bad right now offensively. Thank God their pitching has been that great. Because this is not a short sample size now, guys.
Nope.
Right? I mean, we're approaching a fourth of the way through the season. And the Yankees offensively, and I get it, Rick, you say all of baseball. But I don't think the Yankee fan cares about what's happening in all of baseball. They expect that the guys that they're paying big money to, that the expectation is they're going to be good offensively, will be, in fact, be good offensively. And they have not been. Even, I mean, LeMahieu's not been good. Torres has not been good. Sanchez, I mean, you go down the line. Judge, Stanton, and kind of Urshela. And that's about it.
The Yankees are 24th in runs scored, Rick.
It's not good. And I guess, I mean, what... You, I guess what you could say is, if this is going to be the case the entire season, where, you know, starting pitching is winning the day, and, you know, that you're not seeing great offense. Well, I mean, that's fine. It doesn't have to be great, but the Yankees should be better than most. Like, you can still, like, it could still be an effect. Like, you're not as good as you've been in the past. Like, you're not bludgeoning teams, but you should be better than most teams offensively. You should be.
Look, and we'll get to the calls in a second, 800-919-3776. And I'm not saying the Yankees aren't better than the Red Sox, but look at the Red Sox offensively. The Red Sox offensively, they hit the baseball. The Yankees should be able to hit the baseball. And if they don't do it this weekend against Baltimore, I don't know. I think you become more concerned and more upset about it. Let's go to the calls, 800-919-3776. And by the way, this is Straight Talk, brought to you, as always, by Straight Talk Wireless. Anthony in Staten Island. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. There was an at-bat yesterday with LeMahieu, Rakil, and he was throwing, like, just breaking ball after breaking ball, and then he threw his version of a fastball, which is kind of slow. But, I mean, I think the ball hit the catcher's glove before LeMahieu even swung. So it's kind of funny how there's more to it, right, than just throwing fast. But, you know, I guess you have to be a little bit optimistic because, I mean, they've won every series for about a month. Right, and compared to where they were when they were 5-10 or whatever, I mean, you know, it's like a second chance at life. And what I would like to see happen, or what I think would happen, is, you know, Taillon maybe goes to the bullpen when Sevy comes back. Hopefully, he's himself. Pitcher gets even better, and I have to think that they could find, you know, maybe an extra bat because they're right there. They take pitches. They get, you know, they walk. They just can't get that hit. And I think a lot of it has to do around the league with just this dead-end ball, right? And I think a lot of these teams maybe – this is just my opinion again, I don't know, but just I think a lot of teams obviously constructed with the long ball, and it's just not happening. I mean, look how many no-hitters we've had already, right, in the first couple of months or whatever.
You know, listen, here's
really
the thing.
Before.
Here, listen, and I get it. I mean, as a Yankees fan, I would choose to be optimistic as well. Like, this team, you feel like at some point, even if it's not – what you expected, it should be better than most. Like, your offense should be able to win you games, even if the offense has been suppressed because of the pitching or the ball and everything else. Like, it should at some point be able to carry the day when your starting pitching isn't great, and the starting pitching has been great. Baseball, by the way, they can't get out of their own way, because if that's the case, if all of a sudden now we got to a point where we're trying to limit home runs because they screwed that up by juicing up the baseball and everyone became desensitized to it and like, oh, this is so stupid, like, I think the home run's not even cool anymore, that they fix the baseball, which gives the pitcher this kind of advantage because it moves all over the place. And now we're talking, well, I think the only way we fix this is move the mound back. Like, you screwed it up so badly that now we're talking about now
that's
having to move the mound back.
A fundamental change to the game of baseball. Move,
like, you don't think about
back.
Like, you didn't like do any investigative work on, like, what's the unintended consequences of changing the baseball?
Yeah, the guys can't touch the thing now.
We never heard about juicing the baseball or anything like that for years and years and years until, what, about 10, 15 years ago, maybe? And you can't find the right formula to keep it somewhere in the middle where it's supposed to be?
Well, here's the best thing. The reason they juice the baseball is because they realize when the players are juiced, like when McGuire and Sosa and Bonds were juiced, people couldn't get enough of the home runs. They couldn't get enough of it. It saved the sport. So now we got to crack down on steroids. So how do we get the home runs back? Well, we'll just juice the baseball. Can't juice the players, just juice the baseball. And now they screwed that up because
no,
there's
time.
Too many home runs.
And now you have none. And now offense is horrendous.
And, you know, to your point, Dave, I mean, the Red Sox lead Major League Baseball in runs scored. They've scored 199 runs this year. They're hitting 260 as a team. I mean, 260 aren't their second in baseball. That's pretty good. But there's no reason the Yankees shouldn't be able to hit 260 as a team. And they're hitting 220.
I mean, 220 is criminal. It's repulsive. Yeah. And people say, well, we're still fine, and you are fine, and you're going to win the division. But that's not what you're looking for if you're the Yankees. You're not looking to win the division. You're looking to win the World Series. And at this moment, I find it difficult to believe that this is a winning the World Series kind of team.
Doesn't feel like it.
Right? Let's go to Ralph in the Bronx. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, guys. Happy to be here Friday. Hope you guys are doing well. Just want to rant about the Yankees and just baseball in general, man. Like, these guys got to get it together, but just like you guys were alluding to, like, you got to blame MLB for it. Like, it's just too much going on. These guys don't even want to put the ball in play anymore if it's not a home run. Or situation, a mean shift to the right. Put the ball in play, you know, this all analytical stuff. These guys are not robots. Oh, I'd rather have Judge hit a home run than a single to right. Well, I'd rather have him hit a single to right if he's going to bring in a run. And I don't know. Like I said,
yeah, but I mean, I think what they recognize, and here's I think why they're so dependent on the home run. Because well, again, that's how they built their team is that they don't feel like they have enough good hitters to string together enough hits to score runs that way. You take your walk on base percentage, the big on base percentage, and then all of a sudden, before you know, a 2-run home run. There you go. As opposed to having hit 3 singles or whatever it ends up to, you know, to score a run. We're not capable of stringing together hits like that, so we need to rely on the home run. And right now, when you look at where baseball is at, I think the pitchers have clearly made an adjustment. I mean, what did you expect them to do? When all you hear about is launch angles, obviously they're going to try to find a way to combat that, which is now with, you know, high fastballs that these guys can't get to because their swings are so uppercut now. And then you take that with the ball now, they're moving all over the place. The pitchers right now have the advantage.
Oh, all over baseball. Let's go to Rolito, I believe is the pronunciation. Rolito in Washington Heights is next up on 98.7.
Good morning, sir. I listen to... Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Rolito Martinez, and I've been listening to your radio show for the past year and a half, and I am so humbled and so appreciative to listen to such carriers and such communal information, and I just wanted to just call in and just let you guys know that I'm humbled, and I'm appreciative of listening to you guys every single morning. You guys give me the spunk every single morning to go out and tackle on the world, and I just wanted to just call in and just tell you guys that I just really appreciate you guys and humbled and thankful for everything that you guys put out.
Wow, what a nice call, Rolito. Thank you so much. Lovely, huh?
Rolito, you're welcome.
You've been on the show for 5 days.
Listen, just trying to show some appreciation.
5 days.
You're welcome.
He said the last year and a half, we carried this man on our backs through the pandemic, and you're taking credit?
Thanks for recognizing the effort, because we've put it in as a group.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. I thought the Jay Williams moment might have been your lowest, but I could, in fact, be.
Oh, Dave, I can always get worse.
Yeah, and clearly that's the case. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN is presented by Progressive Insurance. And Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. So here's the question for both of you guys. We'll get to the calls as well on it. 800-919-3776. Are you more energized and geared up for the Nets or the Knicks in the postseason? More energized for the Nets or the Knicks in the postseason here in New York?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So I think, Carlin, you're the person to ask because you're neither a Knicks or Nets fan. In fact, you don't really have an NBA team. Mm-hmm. Who are you more excited for in the postseason, the Knicks or the Nets?
Knicks, no question. No question. And listen, the Nets very quickly, with these three guys who have shown so little interest in a regular season, have become exceptionally hateable. Exceptionally hateable.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't be excited for that, right?
No, absolutely. But I'm more excited just at the prospect of the Knicks being in the playoffs, period, than anything else.
You agree? Rick, is that the bigger story?
Wow, bigger story.
More excited for the Knicks or Nets?
Well, I mean, I think New York is more of a Knicks town than it is a Brooklyn town.
Well, I don't even think it's close.
Okay, so I mean, if that's why your question is a stupid question, because most people that call in are going to be Knicks fans, so of course they're going to be more excited about the Knicks being in the postseason than the Nets being in the postseason.
All right, so you're taking direct shots at RJ then, is what you're doing.
I am, correct.
So it's not my stupid question. You're saying
it's RJ's. Yeah, he knows. I didn't have to say it. I mean, you want to put it out there. He knows who.
No, you put it out there. Well, I'm not going to let you sit here and take shots at me.
Well, why can't you just take the blame for it?
Why would I take the blame for something? Wasn't even my question. I thought it was
RJ's
a good question.
RJ's name's on the show. Correct, Chris. I mean, it's your show. You're the driver of the show.
So?
You don't have to read what I mean. You're not.
I thought it was an interesting question.
You're not Ron Burgundy. You don't have to read everything he writes to you.
The fact that if it's not something that you love, now you can't even handle having a discussion about it. And it's just a terrible question.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
It seems like a pretty self-explanatory question. If you're a Nets fan and you call in, you're going to say the Nets. If you're a Knicks fan and you call in, you're going to say the Knicks.
And that's why I asked Carlin, because he's not a fan of either, and he said it wasn't even a question for him. It's the Knicks.
Okay, you crafted a question for one person. Well done.
I crafted nothing.
Exactly. Dave, you're such... I'll tell you the one thing I've really learned this week, Dave. Mm-hmm. You are such a point the finger rather than the thumb guy. If it goes wrong, never your fault.
Well, no, that's not true.
If it goes right, thank you.
If it goes wrong and it's my fault, I'll own it. If it goes wrong and it's not my fault, why should I own that?
Because it's your name on the show. Like the buck stops here kind of thing?
No.
I couldn't agree, Chris. Over the last four days,
slobber all over you now.
I could not agree with you more.
That is the best take you've had. Chris, look at you.
I'd shave his head for him. I'd shave his back. There's been times I've shaved teammates' backs in the shower.
The two of you guys. It's incestuous at this point.
That's what happens when you're teammates. You're good teammates. He can't reach spots in his back.
That's the one good thing I got going for me is my hair is my back is not really hairy.
Really?
Not really.
You don't look like a hairy guy to me.
I do or don't?
No, you don't look like you have much hair on you.
Some on the back, but I'm not George the Animal Steel.
Yeah. You could be.
I could be.
You kind of resemble George the Animal Steel, actually. a little bit.
Start eating turnbuckles live on the air.
That's right. You have a thing for Elizabeth. Is there any woman named Elizabeth you like? Do you care for Elizabeth Hurley?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah, she's stunning. I had a big crush on Miss Elizabeth back then.
Well, who didn't?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I used to love wrestling. Love it.
It was great.
Me too.
Oh, my God.
You became an adult and you stopped enjoying it.
Yeah. You should see my mother's basement, Mickey's basement. I have more wrestling figurines down there.
Chris,
you don't know this.
He refers to, and I'm embarrassed to say this, he refers to his mother when he just said Mickey, and you're probably like, well, his mom's name is Mickey. No. He refers to his mother as Mickey Rourke. Because she's had a great deal of plastic surgery, apparently.
Nothing means nothing.
Yeah, I've listened enough where I know.
It's horrifying. Horrifying.
Listen, I'm the one the other day that said, you know, I went to see my mother. Her first question was, did we reorder the wine? You know,
she wants to be fully hydrated. Good for her.
Exactly.
Good for her. All right, let's go to some of the calls on just what's an awful topic. Ahmad and Patterson. Ahmad, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. I think you guys are absolutely insane if you think that the Knicks are the bigger and better story. Obviously, I'm from New Jersey. I grew up close to Continental Airlines Arena back when the Nets were still in Rutherford. But, I mean, you have three future Hall of Famers that are playing on the same team that, yes, obviously, the regular season hasn't been great in terms of their playing time, but I mean, come on. This is a team that could be up there with some of the greatest teams in the world, in the history of the NBA. So, obviously, Nets fan, I think you guys are having a familiarity bias with the Knicks, but tell me about the storyline. Three potential.
He didn't say, listen, Ahmad, he didn't
crazy.
Say most, Ahmad, he didn't say most interesting. He said, which team are you most excited about? So as a Knicks fan, you want me to say I'm most excited about the Nets?
How can you not be excited about three Hall of Famers? I mean, the conference semifinal between the two and three is going to be amazing. The conference finals against the Sixers is probably going to be even better. And then potentially against the Lakers or whoever comes out of the West. I mean, I'm insanely excited about what this team has in store.
No one really cares.
Sure, great feel-good story, but come on. Come on, three Hall of Famers.
Have you, Ahmad, have you seen Milwaukee lately? Have you seen how Milwaukee looks lately? I wouldn't. It's not a fait accompli that they all of a sudden they're guaranteed to get through Milwaukee in the second round either.
But I'm excited about what could happen. So, yeah, okay, the Knicks are a great story. May even go out in the first round if they end up in the sixth seed. So I'm more excited about the Knicks, about the Nets and how great they can be. And hopefully they're going to win the season this year. You watch.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for really spurning this topic to a fever pitch. And I think it's...
He's a Brooklyn Nets. He's a Nets fan.
It's a great
good for you.
I think it's a brilliant, well-driven topic that RJ Santillo came up with. And I'm going to
I enjoy watching the Brooklyn Nets play basketball. I would enjoy it if they lost.
I think
in the postseason.
Yes. Here's what I think. I think most people who are not Nets fans would enjoy watching them lose. I don't like Chris. You said I don't think they're a very likable team.
I don't think they are either. And I think the way that this has played out, it's not great for the league
at all.
If the Nets go and win, it's not great for the league at all. Because
no, it wasn't.
And it's not about the super team part, but about the fact that they showed no caring in the regular season whatsoever about where they were. And all that matters is the postseason. Like, that's not great for the league.
It's terrible for the league. You can go out there and guys can, you know, go on sabbatical and take as much time as they want. And you can have your best players play seven games together for a season and still go out there and just roll your way to a championship. That's a terrible look for the league.
They're not very likable.
No, it wasn't good when Kawhi did it. I mean, I don't want to say that he started it, but the fact that he load managed that entire season and then they end up winning a championship, right? I mean, that's I see that. I'm one of these players. I see that. I'm like, oh, all right, work for him. I might try that. And now all of a sudden, you know, your big three have played seven games together, and you have a rookie head coach that's never had any coaching experience in the postseason, and you just run right through the postseason and win a championship. Oh.
Sounds like an interesting team to watch. Pretty interesting.
See, now, here's the thing. Now you're trying to. Which team are you most interested to watch? Most excited to watch? Like, don't you? Now we're going to do the
such a great question. It's so difficult to really get.
Yeah,
to
when
the
you
bottom.
Pretend. Like yesterday, when I asked you who was the highest paid athlete, and you've already seen it, and you're like, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Carlin outed you because you already saw it.
He outed me. I admitted to it.
Only well, because
you,
he outed
said,
you.
You've already
no.
seen this, obviously, and that's when you admitted it.
Right, but it's not like I held it to
you're
the
a cheater! You're a cheater!
I told you. I mean, please, with your cheating
no, you
history.
Weren't gonna but you were
wait,
not
going
to tell me.
Carlin, RJ and Raymond, do me a favor. Play the audio of when Rick completely outed himself a couple weeks ago. If you
let's
guys
call this for what it is. You asked me the question, and I actually cheated because I looked on the the rundown.
Oh, look at what has happened.
I heard that live, too.
Yeah. So you're going to call me out. You're the biggest cheater we have going here at the station.
I admitted it, though.
So did I.
No, but you did not admit it until Carlin outed you. You were going to go through the entire process of hoeing and humming.
It was so well done.
Like when you
so
Google
well
Stump Rothenberg questions.
Oh, I was
like,
Olympia Dukakis during that segment. It was, I mean, the acting that I put on was sensational.
Well, you did it the other day, too, when you already had, like, you got outed for that one, too, because you already had the question, like, a couple months ago, and you pretended that you're like, that's a good one. And then you answered it in like this grand fashion, like you're the smartest guy on the planet. And it comes
I
to find out they've
it.
Already been asked that question before.
I have a lot of intelligence. Let's go to Pablo in Beechwood. Pablo, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Olympia Dukakis, timely.
Hey, guys. I wasn't even going to call about the initial question because I'm with you guys. I mean, we all know everybody's excited about the Knicks. It's a Knicks town. I'm a Nets fan. I'll admit it. The Knicks in New York, they own the town for now. But I have to say, guys, it would be bad for the NBA if the Nets win the championship. I mean, come on, guys. Look, San Antonio Spurs, Popovich started this whole, the season doesn't really matter. Let's rest Tim Duncan. Let's rest Manu Ginobili. Let's rest Tony
but
Parker.
But they did not play at all, Pablo. These guys have not played at all this season.
But, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, look, I understand. I got upset, too. I'm a Nets fan. I got upset, too, at times. I'm like, come on, guys. We only play seven times. If I keep hearing this on ESPN, they only play seven times all year. Like, I'm going to throw up. Like, because it's facts. They only play seven times. I got it. But, I mean, to say if the Nets win the championship, this is really bad for the NBA. The way I look at it, if the Nets win the championship, it's time for the NBA to fix that regular season. Switch it up. start thinking of new ideas. The play-in, I think it's great. Maybe start throwing a little mini tournament throughout the regular season. I don't know. But obviously, there's just not incentive for the top teams to really keep their players in the game.
Pablo, guys are trying to play less games. You're not going to start all of a sudden adding games with tournaments and everything else. That's the rub with this, though, is they don't want, like, even with the NHL, we have these conversations when we're doing CBA negotiations, like, trying to keep players healthy. How can we incentivize guys to play every single game? Well, you know, it would make sense to play less games. Second you mention that, the owner's like, play less games? What are you, crazy? Well, do you want to
give up the revenue? Of course not.
Do you want to make less money? No, man, there's too much money involved.
And just the idea that they're, at that point, if the Nets win a championship, they're trying to sell you that the regular season is worth purchasing. That's the problem. You know?
Yeah, but we're, and here's the thing, though, too. I mean, this is just another example that maybe the most glaring example of it. But I think the NBA fans already feel that way, that the regular season really doesn't mean much.
It doesn't mean much. I mean, the Knicks are one of the very few teams that it means a lot to. Michael Redden tweets in, interested Knicks, or interested Nets, invested Knicks. Brilliant question. Guys, so we appreciate you appreciating us.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Nets or Knicks, who are you more into this postseason? Rick doesn't like it. We love it. We absolutely adore it. And the phone lines are lit up because of it. Daryl in the car. The floor is yours, Daryl.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call, man. Listen, I'm going to keep it real simple, man. It's all about the Knicks. We got to watch the Knicks up and down through the whole season. We got to watch Randall grow. We got to watch Rose bring his heart out there every night. The Nets, they got Harden, they got Irvin. Irvin doesn't want to play. Harden is hurt. Durant is hurt. They're supposed to run away with the regular season, and they didn't. They actually been the most disappointing team in the NBA, and we've been the most impressed. It's real simple. Let's go Knicks. Thanks for taking my call.
I don't know that the Nets are the most disappointing team in the NBA.
How could that be?
They're the second seed in the East right now.
Yeah.
And they're the prohibitive favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference.
They and the Lakers are the two favorites to win a championship. One of them's exceptionally beat up, and the other one hasn't played together at all this year.
And mind you, this team that's been a tremendous disappointment is the huge favorite to win the entire thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was not.
That's what you just said right there, though, is another reason why I wouldn't be, like, I'm not overly excited. Like, you're sitting here telling me that there's a good chance that the Nets win a championship. Like, as a Knicks fan, you want to deal with that?
No.
No, absolutely not. No.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but like to that point, did you, and not that this is how everybody feels, but I was a little bit surprised. Somebody tweeted me a video this morning from outside the Garden after the win last night where it was fans chanting, blank the Nets.
Really?
Blank the Nets.
See, I'm surprised at that.
I've seen that before, yeah.
I'm surprised at that because I would think that the Knicks fan would kind of like turn their head at the Nets and
but
we don't care.
No. Time out. This is not just the Nets. This is Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving pick the Nets over the Knicks. You don't want us? Go F yourself.
That's
what it
fair.
Is.
Yeah, I guess that's accurate.
Yeah.
Now definitely. There's a disdain. So if you were a Knicks fan, and you are, Rick, would you prefer that the Nets just get bounced early or go on a run to the finals and then lose? Like, would you like to see the most painful loss or you want to see the utmost of embarrassment?
I want the utmost of embarrassment is what I want.
So you want first round, you're the two, you go up against, you know, say Boston and you lose that series. Not that that would ever happen, but that's like lose that series.
Now you put me in a tough spot.
Well, then
though,
you're on the biggest stage, you're playing the Lakers and LeBron has his way against them.
No, because I'm not of the mindset. If they make it to the NBA finals, I wouldn't look at the season as a failure. I mean, Miami with their big three didn't win it the first year they were put together. Like, I could understand if he made it all the way to the finals and you lost. That's still a pretty good season, I would think.
All right, so second round to the Bucks or first round to Boston?
Second round to the Bucks, get your heart ripped out because I had to keep hearing, oh, you know, it's no big deal. The Nets don't really – the Nets don't need the number one seed. They don't need it. Like, we can play – for some reason, we'll play Kevin Durant against Minnesota and then sit him against Philly as opposed to playing him against Philly and sitting against Minnesota because that makes –
That makes perfect sense. Repulsive, to be honest with you. Let's go to Search in Franklin Square. Search, you're on 98.7.
Hey, guys, how you doing? First of all, you know, I grew up a Nets fan and a Knicks fan. I got into basketball myself, so I didn't really know the rivalry. But you guys said it 100%. You know, it's good to see the Nets, see what they can do, but it's bad for the game. The Knicks, you know, they have the city. They have the heart of this city. But before you signed off a commercial there, what's his name says, a great, great Knicks win last night. And the fact that they won was good, but they did not play good at all.
His name is not what's his name. Okay. His name is Dave. All right. And you know what?
Dave,
yes.
Know,
that's coming back from down 17 against a pretty decent basketball team is a great win for the Knicks. Yes. I'll stand by it.
They didn't have a point guard.
It
it's
was,
tough to win it. Listen,
they,
time
they should
out.
Have never,
search.
They should
search.
Have been,
search. They, search.
Yeah.
This is, you're the problem. Yeah. You're the problem. You and Chris Collin are the problem is because you can't wait to jump on them when they lose, but you won't give them the kind of respect that they deserve when they win.
Now, this is completely ridiculous. The fact that you would say you can't wait to jump on them when they lose. I was annoyed that they lost a game to the Lakers the other night, a 10-point fourth quarter lead.
The Lakers are the best defensive team in the NBA.
Rick, they had the lead at the half last night and fell behind by 17.
But they came back and won it, Carlin.
I understand that. That's not a great win. That's a holy crap, we bailed ourselves out win.
They didn't have a point guard. Derrick Rose didn't play.
I understand that.
You are impossible. You're down 17. You don't have Rose.
You put yourself in that hole.
So what? It's still a great win.
That's not a great win.
So when the Bills came back from down 35-3 against the Oilers, was that not a great win because they put themselves in that hole?
Win. Of course it was.
Well, so the Knicks were down 17 at
home. Last night what happened at the Garden was not an all-time historic win.
I didn't say it was. Listen, I said it was a great win for the Knicks.
It was a great win. David Blaine puts himself in the box.
To all-time historic wins and expect me to put them on the same plane because that's what you're doing.
So what was last night? It was just a pedestrian win.
I didn't say pedestrian. It was a good win, but let's not forget that they put themselves in a massive hole by playing a terrible, terrible brand of basketball for the first 7 minutes of the second half that put them there, and they got ridiculous. While the Spurs got ridiculously hot, the Knicks got ridiculously hot. It's a very good win, but going into that game, if I told you the Knicks were down 17 in the third quarter after they led at halftime, you wouldn't exactly be thrilled by that.
No, but if I told you they trailed by 17 in the third quarter and came back and won the game, I think it's fair to say that's a great win.
Whole context, 30,000 feet. They were winning at halftime.
And not only was it a 17-point lead, it was with less than 4 minutes left in the third quarter they were down 17 when they turned it around.
It was.
Without a point guard.
Again, without a point guard. I mean, you can make the argument that outside of Derrick Rose, you know, Derrick Rose in 25 minutes a game, they haven't had a point guard all year.
All right.
So
give them some credit, for God's sakes.
I have given them credit all year long. I don't understand what's so wrong with getting invested in the moment when they have given you moments to get invested.
So they gave you a moment then. They gave you a great moment last night, and you won't even jump on board with that. You're like, well, you know, they came out and played so badly in the second half.
It's a game that they, going in, needed to have anyway.
So now if it's a game that they had to have, you can't get excited because that was an important game to win.
I'm sitting there as they're down 17, and I think the game's over. And they come back and win, and that's great.
And that's what makes it a great win.
In your estimation, that's fine. When a team is winning at the half by four, which you want to say barely, okay, they had a four-point lead at the half. And they completely came out and had nothing in the first 8 minutes of the third quarter and put themselves in that situation.
Well, they bailed themselves out.
Like, that, to me, is not always great. It's not always great.
But what you're failing to do is give the other team a minute. You're playing an NBA team.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're not giving that other team any credit either.
That other team.
They hit the first 11 shots. I mean, they were 13 of 14 to start the third quarter.
I know. I understand that. My point is that the other team is not as good of a team as the Knicks are. They're an NBA team that locked up their play-in tournament bid last night. So I'm just not going to get so wrapped up in, oh my God, what an unbelievable win.
They were down 17 in the third quarter, Carlin.
We've covered that.
Well, but I don't think it gets through your head.
It does get through my head.
I'm not sure.
This is what I think, Dave. You're not going to convince me otherwise. Just as enjoying what this is, I don't have to look at every single game for the Knicks and just say, I'm just happy for the season. That's it. I'm just happy for what's going on. That's not how I look at it. I look at it like they've given you a great season to let me get stressed out or invested in the moment, so that's what I'm going to do. I'll worry about the grand scheme in a couple of weeks.
All right. I give up with you at this point. Let's
see how well we know. How do you not close out a game when you have a three-point lead at the end of the half?
Yeah, you got to finish that up.
You got to finish that one off.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the lead at the half.
Say finish the money that off. I said don't fall behind by 17.
Yeah. I mean, you got that three-point lead. You got to close that one out.
Yeah, that's got to be finished up.
I can't believe they blew a lead to the Lakers. The Lakers are the best defensive team in the NBA. Oh, how come they
without
can't
LeBron
score? I don't
James
know.
And with a hurt Anthony Davis.
It doesn't matter. They're still one of the best defensive teams in the NBA.
And no Dennis Schroeder and no Alex Caruso.
Okay, but you're acting like
Alex Caruso.
Yeah, but you're acting like the Knicks are an offensive juggernaut. When you have an average offensive team going up against one of the best defensive teams.
It doesn't matter. We can say whatever. You're not going to sway him. Let's find out how well, in fact, we know this disaster of an opinion man. And that is...
Getting to know you. Getting to know you. On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is... Oh, my God.
Yes.
All right, fellas. Let's cleanse the palate for a moment, shall we?
I can't wait for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out your pens.
I got my pen.
All right. Five questions, multiple choice, just to give you a little view into what I'm all about.
Oh, boy.
Getting to know Chris Carlin. Here we go.
Now, can I ask you a question before you start here?
Sure.
Are these tidbits you've given us throughout the week, or are these things that we may have absolutely no idea of?
No, these are things you have absolutely no idea about.
Okay. Oh, perfect.
Great.
Okay.
It's a real crapshoot, just like the postseason for the Yankees. Crapshoot.
Yeah. Let's see what you got. Number one, my interest in a broadcast career began at Hobart College, where I went with the intent of pursuing a career as a lawyer.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Which of the following common collegiate occurrences changed my path? A drunk senior from the campus radio station punched out an off-duty police officer.
Ooh.
B, I got drunk with the radio station manager who invited me to try out. C, I was thrown out of my political science class for being hungover.
Wow. So all three have alcohol involvement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have alcoholic as a D? Is D alcoholic?
Yeah. Can we get you a
D? D is all of the above.
Program. Can I get the answers again, please?
Sure. A drunk senior from the campus radio station punched out an off-duty police officer. B, I got drunk with the radio station manager who invited me to try out. Or C, I was thrown out of my political science class for being hungover.
All right.
Question two. During my freshman year at Hobart, I got into a fight with a drummer of a popular 90s band. Which band was it?
This is a physical confrontation.
Yes.
You sounded like a nightmare, I call it.
Yeah, I know. What did you do at school?
During my freshman year at Hobart, I got into a fight with
a
drummer of a popular
90s
band.
Let me just see if I have this as well. You were drunk during this fight, I would imagine, right?
I was not.
Oh, that was the one time. All right, continue along.
Was the band A, Third Eye Blind, B, The Pixies, C, The Spin Doctors,
ooh,
or D, all of the above? Third Eye Blind, B, The Pixies, C, The Spin Doctors, D, all of the above.
There's no way you got into a fight with every band that ever came to Hobart.
Are we ready for question three?
At this point, Dave, I would not put anything past him at this point.
I can't believe that you were like this.
Are we ready?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Okay. Question three. During my last term freshman year, I pledged a fraternity, and my grades suffered to the point where it was clear that it was not in my best interest to return in the fall. My grade point average that term was A, 1.3, B, 0.4, C, 0.8.
Oh, my goodness. So you're Blatarsky, is who you are.
The best you could have done was a 1.3, given these choices.
Yes. Yes.
This is like Revenge of the Nerds. That's where we're at right now.
Your poor parents. Was anyone more ill-equipped to go away to school than you, by the way?
You'd be surprised at the guys I went to school with at Hobart.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations, Mr. Blutarski. You're at the top of the pledge class.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right, question four. Are we ready for that?
Yeah, maybe.
As you guys know, I once produced a popular sports radio show here in New York. During game one of the 1999 NBA Finals at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas, one of the hosts of the show sent me to get him dessert from a concession stand. And said, don't come back without it. I spent 45 minutes looking for what sweet treat? Was it A, Dippin' Dots?
Ooh, Dippin' Dots.
B, peanut M&Ms. C, ice cream. D, all of the above.
Imagine it's like, go get me many desserts and I'll choose which one I want when you when you return. Oh, my God.
All right.
So I got A, Dippin' Dots, B, peanut M&Ms, and C, ice cream?
Yes. Okay. Although Dippin' Dots, I guess, is technically ice cream, but yeah. Still. All right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Question five. Former manager of the Mets, Willie Randolph, not a big fan of mine because I had been critical of him.
Add him to the list. Go ahead.
Yeah, at the time. Not anymore. Willie and I are solid. Well, I saw him once since then, so... Former manager of the Mets, Willie Randolph, not a big fan of mine because I had been critical of him. During a press conference, he referred to me as A, Curly from the Three Stooges.
Good one.
B, King Kong Bundy.
Oh, I like
another good one.
Yeah.
C, Butterbean.
Oh, my God. All three.
Is there
great.
A D? Could it there be is all no above?
D. There is no D.
Can I ask you what year, in fact, this was?
This was 2007, so it was literally days before he was fired.
2007.
No, was it 2007 or 2008 that he got fired?
You're not, Dave. I mean, that's almost cheating. You know how I feel about people giving you the date. Like, if Sal gives you the date and he knows you're going to get it.
Yeah, but I got to be honest. I don't think that helps me all that much.
You don't know any of these answers. I guarantee you know.
Yeah, it was 2008. It was
any 2008.
If I give you the year, I know you'll get it. I don't want the
year. It was 2008.
Can you give me the choices again just because I enjoyed them so much the first time around?
Sure. Former manager of the Mets, Willie Randolph, not a big fan of mine because I had been critical of him. During a press conference, he once referred to me as A, Curly from the Three Stooges.
Love that.
B, King Kong Bundy. C, Butterbean.
All right.
All right.
Now, before we reveal the answers.
Yes.
And see who, in fact, wins. Rick, I'm going to offer this to you. You can take it or not. That this will not count in the standings. Would you like it to count or not count?
Let's be transparent. If I choose to count this, do you think when Chris comes back that he's going to accept that we counted this? When we're all tied up?
I don't care. He's chosen to do another show and take vacation this week, so I don't really care what he has to say at the moment. I care what you have to say.
I want to count it. I'm so confident I want to count it.
All right. You're going to count it. All right. So, Chris.
Yes.
You call on one of us, and then we go back and forth, starting with question one.
Yes. Go ahead. Okay. Question one. My interest in a broadcast career began at Hobart College, where I went with the intent of pursuing a career as a lawyer. Which of the following common collegiate occurrences changed my path? Rick, what did you have for that question?
I went, you got drunk with the radio station manager.
Okay, Dave, your answer?
Was that B?
That was B.
Yeah, I went with that as well.
The guy is drunk! Incorrect!
It's gotta
incorrect.
Be C then.
A drunk senior from the campus radio station punched out an off-duty police officer.
So let me see if I understand this now.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be a lawyer. Your heart is set on being an attorney.
Yes.
A drunk senior punches at a police officer, and all of a sudden you're completely turned on by the thought of radio?
Here's what happened. The drunk senior was the color commentator on the football broadcast. He got pantsed, turned around, punched the first person he saw.
Put up your pants, my man! Pull up those pants!
Yeah, pants never works so well. Dave, remember my brother? I told you my brother pants my dad?
Yes.
On vacation?
Yes, your dad was livid. All right, continue along. Question two.
Question two. During my freshman year at Hobart, I got into a fight with a drummer of a popular 90s band. Was it A, Third Eye Blind, B, The Pixies, C, The Spin Doctors?
I go first here, I believe. I put down B.
B, The Pixies. Rick? Yes.
I went C, Spin Doctors.
Richard Arthur DiPietro,
yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Gentlemen,
I ordered a beer. I'd gotten into the bar, and I ordered a beer, and this guy who's 5'8", 140 pounds, grabs my beer and says, "That's my beer because I'm with the band," and shoves me. I just turn and throw a punch.
12. It's time.
And there were 10 people in between us, and I got thrown out of the bar. That was the extent of the fight. That was the last fight I've gotten in.
Did you win?
Timeout. That's a blatant lie.
What do you mean?
Blatant lie.
Why?
Well, you didn't get it. You didn't get into a fight outside your previous radio station?
No, I didn't. That was made up by Boomer.
Was it
that was me and Giannotti yelling at each other for a minute? But that was not a physical fight. Absolutely not.
Well, all right, he's continue. Smart. Continue, Rick. You're up by one.
Yes.
Okay. Question three, during my last term freshman year, I pledged a fraternity. My grades suffered to a point where it was clear not in my best interest to return to college in the fall. My grade point average that term was A, 1.3, B, 0.4, C, 0.8. Rick DiPietro.
I went with A, 1.3.
Ugh, I went with A as well, but should I change it here?
Yeah, you can't change it now.
I can do whatever I want.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I went with A.
You're insufferable. You're both wrong. Uh-huh. C, 0.8.
Yeah, 0.8?
That's why you failed.
Yep. And I only had, we had trimesters at the time, so I only had three classes. C minus, D minus, F.
Oh, my God.
You have failed me for the last time.
It sounds like when I made my dad write my papers. He was terrible.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't giving you 0.8. All right, question four.
Question four. I produced a popular sports radio show here in New York during game one of the 1999 NBA Finals at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. One of the hosts of the show sent me to get him dessert from a concession stand and said, "Don't come back without it." I spent 45 minutes looking for what sweet treat? A, Dippin' Dots. B, Peanut M&Ms. C, ice cream. D, all of the above.
A, Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, A. I want A, too. Dippin' Dots.
Both incorrect. C, ice cream. You bought into that Dippin' Dots.
You couldn't find ice cream anywhere?
Couldn't find it anywhere.
You didn't die in ice cream.
Couldn't find it anywhere.
All right, I'm really... really on one here.
Yeah, Rick's up 1-0 right now.
Well, no, Rick's up. He's 1-3.
Well, yeah, but
three.
You threw us with the 40. I mean, I got thrown with the 45 minutes. I figure you can find ice cream.
Well, how upset should I be? I would have no idea the answers to these.
It's get to know your co-host.
I'm a little embarrassed for you, honestly.
Oh, shut up.
All right.
You're 1-3.
Question five. Former manager of the Mets, Willie Randolph, not a big fan of mine because I had been critical of him. During a press conference, he once referred to me as A, Curly, as in the Three Stooges, B, King Kong Bundy, C, Butterbean, Rick.
I'm going with A, Curly.
Dave.
No, it's C, Butterbean.
Correct answer. A, Curly.
Oh. From the Three Stooges. That is correct.
Yes.
Oh, God, I felt good.
Oh, my God, I won again. Oh, what a day. What a Friday. I'm in the lead now, baby.
You're in the lead. I give you credit. Carlin, no wonder you see therapy. I mean, every question was just, I did this badly. I failed out of school. I fought this guy. I mean, you have real issues.
All right. Well, listen, I'm just trying to tell you about my history. That's all. You're learning about
your
what
post,
has
and I think we got to know you pretty well right there.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.